Today's shiur is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel, Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, Gufa. In our previous shiur, we had learned that, according to Belezer, we're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a Nachri, and Sheila had explained that the reason for such a halacha was because the Torah says, V'yichu, and V'yichu Elecha Paraduma means that we only may purchase it from a Yisrael. So Gufa, Tani Shela, Shela taught us my time to Rebbe Leza. Why does Rebbe Leza hold that we may not buy a paraduma from a Nachri? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha paraduma. From here we learn, b'nei Yisrael yichu, and as the Rishonim point out, the word yichu could go in both directions. Yichu can mean buy, and yichu can mean sell. And we're only allowed to buy a paraduma from Bnei Yisrael. We may not buy a paraduma. We can't buy paraduma from a Nachri. El Me'ata, ask the Gemara if that's the way we understand the words Bnei Yisrael v'yichu. When the Pasuk says regarding the donations to the Mishkan, it says, Dabar Bnei Yisrael v'yichu truma. Hachinami, does that mean the Bnei Yisrael yichu, that whatever was needed for the Mishkan may only be bought from Bnei Yisrael, ve'ena of the Kham yichu, and we can't buy anything for the Mishkan from the Nachrim. So suggests the Gemara v'chitayma, and maybe v'chitayma hachinami. Maybe indeed the halacha is that we can't buy anything from the Nachrim for the Mishkan. Ask the Gemara, can that be true? Vam Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Shalos Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer was asked, at Hechen Kibbut Aveim, how far does the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim go? Amalhem, which Rabbi Lezer replied, Suru ma'as oiv kacham echad la'aviv b'ashkalim. What happened once with a Nachri in Ashkelon? V'dama ben Asina Shemai, his name was Dama ben Asina. The story happened at the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni. Pamachs bikshu menu avonim le'efed. They wanted to buy from him avonim for the efed. Does machlokes rishonim? Does it mean that they wanted to buy davnei shoyim? That means the stones that were used on the shoulders, or did they want to buy from the avnei achoshin that were in the choshin, and they were ready to spend shishim ruba schar. They were ready to spend 60,000 dinrim for payment for this. Rav Kahana said that the amount they were ready to pay was b'shmeinim ruba, 80,000. However, by maftecha, apparently these stones were in a safe and the key to the safe or the key to the room was tachs m'shoysev shel aviv, under the father's head, who was sleeping. The light siroi, and he didn't wake up his father to get the stones. So from here we see the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim, that he was willing to forego this incredible amount of profit just because of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. So the Rishonim asked the question that even though there is a halacha of Kibbut Aveim, as we see and we're going to see, the halacha is that the expenses for the mitzvah Kibbut Aveim come Mishel Aviv, loy Mishel Atzmai. And the question here is, why was Dama ben Asina required to take a loss? He's not obligated to take a loss in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Ritva says there's a difference in halacha between taking a loss and not making profit. Indeed, as much as we have the mitzvah Kibbut Aveim, we're not obligated to take a financial hit to fulfill that mitzvah. But here, it wasn't that he was going to take a loss. He just wasn't going to make profit. And because he wasn't going to make for that, he doesn't have to do the mitzvah Kibbut Aveim. The Rosh in the Ran says that indeed, under normal circumstances, one does not have to take that type of financial loss to do the mitzvah Kibbut Aveim. But if the father is going to have tsar, here, Dama ben Asina saw that his father is going to be upset because he's woken up. That we're not allowed to do. Another explanation that the Shita Lo Noida Mi actually suggests is that Dama ben Asina was not really obligated to do what he did. He did what he did, just that the Gemara, as we're going to be learning now, should teach us the lesson that we learn from Dama ben Asina, but not that he did what he was supposed to do. He did Lefnim Mishiras Hadin. And that's the same answer that I saw the Mefarshim ask, that the halacha is that even by Klal Yisrael, the halacha is Hamavazbis, somebody spending money on a mitzvah, Ayuvazbis Yoysu Mechoymish. You don't have to give up more than 20%. And here, it's presumable that, as the Gemara is teaching us, he could have made a tremendous amount of profit, which would have been more than 20%. That, but again, the halacha is that what he did was lefnei mishuras hadin, or the other tzurtzim, he didn't want to cause tsar to the father. The Be'er Heitev quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, who quotes the Sefer Chassidim, that in every situation, one has to size up the situation. And if the son sees that the father would be upset for not being woken up, then he should wake him up. But if the son sees that the father does not want to be woken up, then he should not be woken up. Moreover, this question comes up in many different situations. One of the situations that come up is, let's say, one's father is sleeping, and now comes the time for davening. Should one wake up his father or not? And a very big part of making that decision is to recognize and realize who your father is. And if your father is the type of individual who will be upset for not being woken up, then you should woke him up. Wake him up. Otherwise, maybe don't wake him up. There are also, in fact, some Rishonim that suggest that Dama ben Asina's father was maybe not an individual who was as strong as other individuals, and therefore he's the type of person that would have rather slept than make the money, and that's why here Dama ben Asina had the obligation to do so. The Sefer Chashukah, but if it's determined that the father would want to be woken up, and therefore the halach is that he should be woken up, the Paiskim say, if at all possible, it should not be the son who wakes up the father, rather it should be somebody else. The Mefarshim, the Cheshuk Echemed, discusses the following Shaila. There was a boy whose parents were divorced, and there was a complicated relationship with the father, with his father. He grew up by his mother, and now he's, Baruch Hashem, getting married, and his mother's brother is prepared to pay for the wedding, but he made one stipulation. He's only paying for this wedding if the boy's father will not be invited. And now this boy has a dilemma. Should he invite his father, and now he'll have a challenge from where to pay for the wedding, or should he take the money and not invite his father? And it's very much connected to our Gemara. So, according to the Tzurtzim that we just said, we just learned that there's a difference about being mitzayir somebody versus just not doing anything. Here, you may be really causing your father direct pain and may be usher. On the other hand, a consideration may be that if the uncle already paid for the wedding, and now if you invite your father, you're going to have to give back the money. So that's already considered a situation of taking a financial loss. We've been learning in our Gemara, the Ritva says, that one is not supposed to make profit if it means that you're going to hurt your father. But one is not obligated to take a loss. Where we're learning now, we're talking about taking a loss, and maybe he's not mechuyev. And the Cheshuk Echemed himself says that there are many different considerations to the Shaila, and he says we really need to also understand what are the circumstances. if the circumstances were that the father did something that causes that he should not be respected, it may be something else. Along the same line, not entirely identical, he discusses a very interesting question where there's a father, there's a son who's Baruch Hashem a bat shuva, and the father is a Mechal Shabbos. And the Mechal Shabbos very much wants his son to come to his home for Shabbos. And the son says to the father, how could I come to your home when you're Mechal Shabbos? So the father says, yes, I'll keep my home completely kosher to make sure you could eat here. But the son says, I don't want to come to a home where there's Chil Shabbos going on. For example, the father smokes, and he says, I don't want to be in a home where people are smoking on Shabbos. And the father says, I won't smoke out of respect to you. Comes to the father's house for Shabbos. Friday night, the son goes to shul, and he comes home, and he smells smoke, the odor of smoke in the home. And he turns around to his father, and he says to his father, I thought we had an arrangement that out of respect to my Shmira Shabbos, you're not going to smoke. And the father says, I'm, of course, keeping my deal, and I will not smoke while you're here. But while you're out, so you're not seeing me smoke, that's why I felt that I could smoke at that time, and it wouldn't be a violation of our arrangement. And as long as you're in the house, I won't smoke. So now the question comes up, the next morning, should the son go to shul? And if I go to shul, again, the father, while the son is in shul, will smoke. And to make the question even more complicated, the way he explains the question is that Shabbos is the Kriya Parsha Zohar. So now the son really has a question. Should he miss davening? And by missing davening, he's going to miss the Kriya Parsha Zohar, but he's going to save his father from Chil Shabbos. Or should he go to shul, and if the father smokes, there was nothing he could do. And he says that he should not go to shul. He says, and the way I understand what he's saying is, right now the son is already in the middle of doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah that he's doing is that he's preventing somebody from being Mechal Shabbos, and it's not just somebody. The person who he's preventing from being Mechal Shabbos is actually his father. And therefore, that outweighs his obligation to go to shul. And not only does it outweigh his obligation to go to shul, he says, as we know, the halacha is that if you miss Parsha Zohar, you could always hear it at another time. You could always hear it before Kriyas HaTorah on Purim, etc. And therefore, he should rather stay home, says the Gemara. But now we come back to our Gemara. We have a question. We started the shiur with Shayla telling us that just like a paraduma may not be purchased from a nachri, given that the Torah says the same halacha applies to Beit Truma, that whatever was needed for the Mishkan should not be purchased from Nachrim. So how could they have wanted to buy the Avnei Shoyam from Dama ben Asina? Answers the Gemara, because if we look in the Pasuk, as we said, the Pasuk says B'nei Yisrael v'yichu, and then the Pasuk continues and identifying the various items that were bought for the Mishkan, the Chesev, the Chayshis, the Tcheles, the Agaman, and they all have a Vav, connecting them to the Pasuk of B'nei Yisrael v'yichu. But then the words Avnei Shoyam don't have a Vav. Why don't they have a Vav? Hifsika Inyan. They're here to separate from what was learnt at the beginning, and that the Avnei Shoyam could be bought even from a Nachri. But ask the Gemara, after the Torah says the word Avnei Shoyam, and indeed the Vav is missing, and the fact that the Vav is missing is clearly an indication that this halacha doesn't apply but Avnei Shoyam. But let's look at the next words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk then says, V'avnei Meluim Ksiv, with that Vav, and that indicates that the Hada Arve, that they also may not be bought from Nachrim. And since the Avnei Shoyim are placed in the Pasuk between the first group of items that only may be bought from Yisrael and the Avnei Meluim, which could only be bought from Yisrael, isn't that clearly an indication that they could only be bought from Yisrael? So how could they have been bought? How could they even wanted to buy it from the Nachri? Void. And another question. The Tani Sefer, the Braisa continues teaching us, L'shan Acheres, next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Domer ben Asina a reward for his Kibur Aveim. V'nodloi para aduma be'edroi, he had a para aduma born in his flock, and nichnasu chacham Yisrael etzloi, amalei, and the chacham came to buy this para aduma. Amalem and Domer said to them, Yodei nebechem shemani mevakshmem kol momen sheba'olam, whatever I will ask from you, atem noisimli, you'll pay for this. However, achshev enim mevakshmechem, I don't ask of you, el oisimam shesadit b'shul abba, I only ask to be reimbursed the amount of money that is what I lost for what I did last year. But again, everybody agrees. Shayla began to share with that the paraduma could only be bought from Yisrael. So how are they going to buy the paraduma from Domer ben Asina? Answers the Gemara. Hasam ayidei Tagri's oven. Tagri Yisrael's oven. They didn't buy it directly from the Nachri. They bought it through Jewish brokers, and since they bought it from Jewish brokers, that's why it was okay. So, of course, many Mefarshim asked the question, why was the reward that Domer ben Asina received, specifically the Para Aduma? So, Rash, the Ben Yoyada says that, as we know, a Para Aduma is highly unusual. And since a Para Aduma is highly unusual, that a Para Aduma was born got everybody to realize it was obviously born because something unusual, the way he fulfilled the mitzvah of Para Aduma. Another pshat that Ben Yoyada suggests is that Klai Yisrael were ready to spend significant amount of money to buy the Para Aduma to show how important mitzvahs are to them. Another explanation is, again, a paraduma is unusual. A paraduma doesn't happen every day. And there was a lot of publicity around finding and purchasing a paraduma. And like that, people will realize how important the mitzvah of a paraduma. Another pshat of Ben Yoyada says that there's an element of midah k'neged midah here. They wanted to buy the Avnei Shoyim, which is used in the Beis HaMikdash, and he gave him the Para Aduma, which is also Tzorech Gevoya. Another pshat is that show how much Klal Yisrael is ready to spend. He took an exorbitant price to show what Klal Yisrael is ready to do for a mitzvah. But the Divrei Shaul, Rav Yosef Shaul Matanson, has a very famous approach to this question. His approach to this question is that we look at this Nachri, and we see how he excelled in fulfilling a mitzvah, the mitzvah Kibbutz Aveim. And if we could think about it, and really, that is a kitrig, that's something that doesn't work well for Klal Yisrael, that the Nachri even is ready to do so much for a mitzvah. So what happened over here? The Nachri, what was the mitzvah that the Nachri fulfilled? The mitzvah Kibbutz Aveim. The mitzvah Kibbutz Aveim is a mitzvah that we could all relate to. And the Nachri spent money on the mitzvah Kibbutz Aveim. What did Klal Yisrael do? Klal Yisrael spent money not for a mitzvah that we understand. Klal Yisrael spent the money for Para Aduma, which is a chayk, which we know is a mitzvah that we don't even understand, to show that as much as the Nachri did what's right, we even do more. The Teres Yeshua has a different approach. He says, we know that in the Seres HaDibris, there are five Dibris on one column, and there are five Dibris on the other column. The five Dibris on the first column are Ben Adam Umakim,
the five dibris in the second column are ben Adam lechaveroi. The first of the dibris is a noich Hashem lekecha on the first column. What is the corresponding dibur on the other column? Keber of ein. So we wanted to show the connection that somebody who has keber of ein is as if he's doing the mitzvah noich Hashem lekecha. How significant this mitzvah is. Then I saw a very interesting pshat that based on a story from the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi once went over to somebody and he asked him, did you daven mincha? He said, of course I daven mincha. So he says, maybe you want to sell me the schar, the reward that you get for davening mincha, for davening that mincha. He said, chas v'shalom. Then he went over to somebody else and he asked that individual, did you put on tefillin today? He says, of course I put on tefillin today. So he asked him, perhaps you're ready to sell me the schar for having done that mitzvah? And he said, chas v'shalom, I would never give up that mitzvah. And so he did with a number of people who had just fulfilled mitzvahs, and they weren't ready to give up the schar of the mitzvah. And he comes home, and his family members, his talmidim, ask him, what just happened here? So he said that at this time, I saw there was a kitrik, I saw in Shemayim that they were upset with Klal Yisrael. And one of the things that they saw by Klal Yisrael is that the Nochrim maybe do what they think they're supposed to do more enthusiastically, better than we do. So he wanted to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu the difference. And our Gemara was the way he showed the difference. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, unfortunately, not always do we do mitzvahs the way we're supposed to do mitzvahs. Maybe somebody doesn't daven mincha, or he doesn't daven mincha the way he's supposed to, or he doesn't put on the tefillin. But as soon as somebody davens mincha, he will never give up that mincha. There's no money in the world with which he'll give up that mincha, he'll give up that tefillin. But whereas Nochrim, so yes, we learn our Gemara, and we see that the Nochrim were ready to give up how great Dovah ben Asino excelled in the mitzvah of Kibra of Ein. But he always was sitting and thinking, where's my reward? He didn't say, Baruch Hashem, I did a mitzvah, and I move on in life. But rather, his concern always was, I lost money because of the mitzvah. And in fact, I saw that if you look in the Lashon of the Gemara, he says, give me back Shiv Sadati. His attitude to his performance of the mitzvah was always that hifsadity, that I took a loss and I need to get that money back. Whereas Klal Yisrael, when they do a mitzvah, their attitude isn't that this was a loss. I lost time from work or whatever that I could have been in the time I daven mincha. On the contrary, he's happy to do the mitzvah. And he doesn't look at it as a loss. And that's the difference between Dama ben Asina and us. Ask the Gemara. The reason was saying that Sheila is saying, that Rabbi Eliezer says, we're not allowed to buy a par aduma from a Nochri, is because there's a concern that the Nochri, we're not allowed to buy this from a Nochri. But ask the Gemara, we've been learning in our Shurim that there's another concern, that maybe the Nochri did revia. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, so how does Sheila say that the entire concern is just because of that you're not allowed to buy these items from a Nochri? Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Lachash, Leviah, is Rabbi Eliezer not concerned that the Nochri did reviva Tanya? Amalele Rabbi Eliezer, Masa Lachua, Menam Kachavim, there was a story where they bought the Paraduma from a Nochri, Vedam Shmai, Vamalei Remet Shmai, Amalem Rabbi Eliezer, Misham Raya. So why are we not concerned that maybe he sodomized it? Amalem Rabbi Eliezer, Misham Raya, Yisraeli Misham Raisei, Mishar Shanolda. Jews made sure that nothing happened with this paraduma from when it was born. So we see that the concern is revia, not what Sheil is saying, that we're not allowed to buy a paradumer from a Nachmi. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Tatiasli. According to Sheil, Rabbi Elazar has two concerns. One concern is that you're not allowed to buy it from a Nachmi, and the other concern is Revia. Amamar, therefore the Gemara just said, to avoid the problem, the Gemara says, Yisrael HaMisham Reisa Mishosh Shinolda. Klai Yisrael watched this animal from when it was born to make sure that there was no revere with this animal. But ask the Gemara, V'nechesh Dilma Rav Le'ima, Kava Ma'abra, why should we not be concerned, ask the Gemara, that the mother, that such an act happened to the mother, Dama Rava, Vlada Negechis, the halacha is that if a child, if an animal did damage, usur can't be used for a carbon, and the baby that it was carrying is also usur to be used for a carry. He v'lad nachan. The reason is because the baby that she was carrying participated in that act. And therefore, the avloch is the vlad had nabas usur, that if the mother was sodomized and she was carrying the boy, baby at that time, even the baby can't be used, because he uvlad of a nibru, they both participated in this halacha. And even though Rava said this halacha regarding kabbonis, but as we learned in our previous year, the halacha is that paraduma, since the Torah calls it a chatos, it has in many ways the status of a carbon, and if these are disqualified for carbon, so they should be disqualified for paraduma. So what does it help that they observe the baby from when it was born? How does it help for the mother? What happened to the mother? Answers the Gemara, indeed. Ima, Yisrael Misham Reis HaMishar Shana Yisrael. From the moment of conception, the mother was watched to make sure that it didn't participate in anything like this, and it didn't participate in anything like this that would disqualify the baby. But ask the Gemara, so we're learning that the mother was watched from the time that this baby was conceived, this paraduma. But ask the Gemara, maybe the mother of this paraduma was sodomized before the conception. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Temura, any animal that's disqualified to be put on the Mizbeach, the babies, doesn't affect the status of the baby. But Tani Alab, the Mishnah over there says, Rabbi Lezer, whose opinion is the opinion that we are discussing in our shir, says that if the mother's disqualified, that disqualification passes on to the child. But says the Gemara that in that opinion of Rabbi Lezer, there's a machlokes. So Anichle Rava, Dam Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, that the machlokes to come Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim is kishenirbu kishemikdashim, that if the mother had this act when she was already hegdish, and then Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that its baby will always be disqualified, so it's not a problem, because we're going to say is that only from when the mother was hegdish, they watched the baby that nothing should happen, that the mother shouldn't participate. Aval shen chulin devarakol matarim. So it's not a problem. Ella, according to the opinion, asked the Gemara of Rahuna Bachinana, Amar Rav Nachman, the machlokes mishlim b'kshin chulin, that if the mother was sodomized even when she was a chulin animal, any baby she will have will be disqualified. Av kshem gdash, because if it happened after she's hegdish, divrei hakel asurin, everybody will agree that it's asur. So mayek lameimer, says the Gemara, correct. According to this opinion, according to Rabbi Lezer, what they did was, they didn't just watch the baby, they also watched the mother from when it was conceived. So the mother also never did any Avera. So Tosfos asks, if we're so concerned about the yichus of this paraduma, so why are we only focused on the mother? What about the father? He says that, so Tosfos says that this entire halacha is not a question in yichus. Who is the mother? Who is the father? What has the mother done? What has the father done? but rather it's an issue of bezoyin, that an animal that comes from a mother that did something that's so horrible should not be used as a parah aduma. But if that's the case, then it's only the baby who comes directly out of its mother that we're concerned about. The father, even if the father did something like that, it's not that evident, especially by animals. And therefore, we don't have to worry about the father. Of course, the other teretz is that there's a concept throughout Shas when we speak about animals. If choshen l'zarav, do we take the father's existence into consideration? Ein choshen l'zarav, do we not? And this Gemara is going according to the opinion that ein choshen l'zarav. V'nechish, but then asked the Gemara, if we're so into the yichus of this baby, so yes, we're watching its mother from when it was born, but what about Dilma Ravul Imadima? Why don't we look at the grandmother? Answers the Gemara, Kulai Eloich Shinin. That's already too much. Amamar, says the Gemara, we just learned, they saw Mishamrai Samishashin, that's right. The animal that they bought from Dilma Ben Nesina was an animal that they kept their eyes on from when it was conceived. Ask the Gemara, Mina Yadinan, how do we know that Dilma Ben Nesina is going to have an animal that's going to produce a paraduma? Says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana, Kais Edom Aviran L'Fanel, they used to pass a red cup in front of the animal, B'shosh Oyla Le'azachar, and that's how we know that it sort of looks at it, like we find that Yaakov Avinu did the same, and that's how the baby, while she's mating, she looks at something red, it's quite possible it's going to have a paraduma. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that's the way you could produce a paraduma, so ask the Gemara, Hach, am I the Me'er Yekarim? Why is a paraduma so expensive? Just take a red cup in front of any animal that's mating, and you'll be able to have a paraduma. Answers the Gemara, just having a red cow is not enough. Because Hoyalushtei Saharis Paisusba, if you have two hairs that are not red, the animal becomes a paraduma. So is disqualified for paraduma. So just because it's going to be red, it's not enough. Says the Gemara, Maishna didop. But by Dama ben Asina, apparently they didn't have that concern. Says the Gemara, Amarav Kahana ben Mukhsakis. They knew that Dama ben Asina has animals that are most likely to produce paradumas. That's why that's where they went to get the paraduma and produce it and watch it, etc. Says the Gemara, Yosef, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Akila, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasachad Menayva, they were sitting on the porch of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha's home. Pasachad Menayva, Oma, V'kenai Releza Paisel, any animal that's bought from a Nachri, B'chol HaKabonis Kulan, by all Kabonis. Pasach Ida Menayu, so the other one said, V'omar, Maya Sivalei Chavroi Releza, what did the Chachamim, who don't agree with Releza, how did they challenge him? They quoted the pasuk in Yeshaya, where the pasuk says, "Kol tzchayim keder yigbalach," that they're going to buy animals when Mashiach comes, the Meher B'Yameinu from Yishmael. That so, how could that be? If you say we can't buy an animal from a Nachri, says the Gemara, "Amal Rabbi Lezva Kulam," because at that time Kulam Geim Grum Heim Lasa Lavei. Everybody's going to be a ger. So there's no concern of not buying a behemoth from a Nachri. The Yerushalmi asked the same question, and the Yerushalmi gives two answers to this question. One answer is, we can't bring a raya from what's going to happen after Mashiach comes, where it's going to be an entirely different world to what's doing nowadays. And another teretz that the Yerushalmi answers, that we live in a world, even Nachrim live in a world of a Yetzer Hara. When you live in a world of a Yetzer Hara, so then there's a concern what's going to be. But when Mashiach comes, B'meher B'yameinu, we're not going to live anymore in a world of a Yetzer Hara, and therefore we don't need to be concerned. But of course, we learned that the Gemara says that Ein Mekablim Gerim L'Asa Lavai, that when Mashiach comes, B'meher B'yameinu, we're not going to We learned that at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel. We're not going to accept any Gerim. So what does it mean they're going to be Gerim Gerurim? So the Mefarshim answer that we won't accept them, but they're going to want to, the Nochrim are going to want to be Gerim, and they're going to want to act like Jews. So even though we won't accept them, but they're going to do it on their own. Omer of Yosef Maikra, where do we see that that's going to be the experience when Mashiach comes? Because the Pasuk says in Sofanya, Ki oz efeich al amim, sofa brura lukru kula m'shem m'shem, la'avda yishchem echad. Omer Abaya, says Abaya, who says that that means that they're going to behave like Klal Yisrael? Maybe all the Pasuk means to teach us is Dilma Vaydus Kacham Hu Dehadabu. They're not going to act like Nochrim. Answered the Gemara, Amalei, La'avda Yishchem Echad. Let's look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that they're not just going to walk away from Avodah Zorah. They're going to become Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. Rapapa Masna Hacha. Rapapa learned this whole dialogue as we just learned. Rav Zvid, but Rav Zvid version of the dialogue, Masni Hachi. Tavai Amri, they both said, the Kenai Rabbelez Bekoisel Kabonis, they all both begin, the Rabbelez says that all animals may not be bought for a carbon from a Nachri, because we're concerned that the Nachri sodomized the animal. But Tavai Amri, and they both asked, Umay Sivala Chavir Rabbelezer, why did Chacham disagree? And they say, because they based their disagreement on the pasuk of Kol Tzayin Keder Yikap Tzulach, and Amar Belezer, and Rabbi Lezer said, Kulam Geirim Gerurim La'asod Lavai, that all the Nachrim will be Geirim, or my crop, based on what? Because the pasuk says, Ki Oz Ha'afik Al Amim Sofa Brura L'Kroi Kulam Hashem Hashem, Maskler of Yosef Dima Avodas Kachavim Hudahad Ribei, maybe they're just not going to do Avodah Zorah, but they're still not going to behave properly. Amalei, to which he responded, the pasuk says la'avdai shchem echonav, that they're going to be full-fledged shomer Torah mitzvahs. According to Rav Zvid, Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha explained this. According to another version, it was only one of them. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paroi, v'yoyim Moshe gam ata titem b'yedenu, but how could have they taken Kabonis from the Nachri, from Paroi? Paroi is a Nachri. Answers the Gemara, Kain Matan Torah Shani. Before Matan Torah, there wasn't such a strong Yetzahara, and there wasn't such a concern. Toshma, the Pasuk says that Yisroi comes to Mitzrayim, and the Pasuk comes to the Midbar, where Klal Yisrael were. And the pasuk says, "V'yikach Yisroel chayse Moshe, oylo uzvachem lelekim." So, how could they have accepted kabbonis from Yisroel? He was a Nachri. Answers the Gemara, "Yisroel nami kod matan Torah hava." Says the Gemara, but that's a question that the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kufta Zayin, has a discussion. When did Yisroel come? Hanich leman damar. Indeed, a coined opinion that Yisroel came to Matan Torah Hava, that Yisroel came to the Midbar before Matan Torah, and we just learned that this entire concern isn't there before Matan Torah. Great. Ella Mandam according to the opinion that says there Masechet Zvachim, the La'achem Matan Torah Hava, that Yisroel came after Matan Torah, says the Ramaya Kalameimah, how could they have accepted Kabbonis from Yisroel? As says the Gemara, Eli Yisroi mi Yisrael Zavad. Yisroi bought from Yisrael, and therefore they were allowed to use his kabbonis. There's a very big discussion that Yisroi became a ger, as we know. So once he became a ger, and he testifies that he bought, that these kabbonis were not sodomized, why is there a problem? And the Mefarshim explained that we have to say that there's a question, does a ger have mnemonis to say about something that happened before he became a ger? Toshma, the pasuk says that when Shaul had a mechama with Amalek, and he was supposed to kill them and all their animals, and he didn't, and the pasuk says that Shmuel asks Shaul, what is the sound of the animals I hear? And the pasuk says, V'yom Shaul, me'am alokya havyom, ashachom al-am amet atzoyim v'abokar, v'man zvoich l'shem l'kecha. Shaul says we spared the animals because we wanted to bring them as a carbon. So we see that they used animals that belonged to the Amalekim as a carbon. And it says the Gemara, my mativ, then they used the actual animals, the may mativ. They sold the animals and bought animals from Jews. So why does the pasuk have to sing express that they were mativ, that they were best? It says the Gemara, because the Gemara wants to say that they were very good animals and they were able to sell those animals at a good price and buy good animals for a carbon. But not that those actual animals from the Malekim were used from the carbon. Toshma. The pasuk teaches us that when David HaMelech went to Arna HaYavosi to buy his barn, which is a place where he wanted to put up a Mizbeach, the pasuk says, V'yoyma Aroin al David, Yikach V'yal Adoni HaMelech, Hatoy Be'enov, Rei HaBokal Oila, V'amorgim V'chli HaBokal Eitzim. So we see that David HaMelech took animals from Arna, who was not Jewish, for carbon. And says the Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Aroina Ger Toshev Hava. Aroina was a Ger Toshev, and therefore he could be believed. And the Rishonim point out, we're going to have a Sugyan HaMasechta, what is the definition of a Ger Toshev? And if we say that all a Ger Toshev is that he just keeps the Zayim Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, it just doesn't do Avodah Zarah, so why can we buy his animals? We're going to have to say that this opinion holds that a Ger Toshev is much more, and a Ger Toshev is an individual whom we need not be concerned did such an act with an animal. The pasuk says that he took from him merigim. Ask the Gemara, my merigim? Amu ula mita shatorbal. Ask the Gemara, my mita shatorbal? Says the Gemara, is it the krukim and the daishin? It was like a pitchfork. Amar Rav Yosef, my crop. Where do we see that in a pasuk? Because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hine samtach lemayrak choretz, choresh bal papiyas. Todish horav todik gvois kamoitz tasim. It's like a pitchfork that will turn over everything. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the pasuk says that the Plishtim had captured the Oren, and after they were punished, they sent back the Oren to Klal Yisrael on a wagon attached to two cows. And the pasuk says when that wagon came, Vivakus Atzei Agola, they took the wagon, they chopped up the wood. Vasaporus Ohelu Oilel Hashem. So we see that those animals that they received from the Nachrim were used as a carbon. Answers the Gemara, that was a one-time event. Hayra Shaisa, we can't bring a raya. And as we're going to learn, that entire episode was an episode of incredible Nisim, so we can't bring a raya from that story. Hachanami Mistabra, that was a one-time event. Dilai Tema, Hachi, Oil in the Keva, Miyaka, the pasuk says that they brought paris, which are cows, females, as a carbon oiler. We know that the Torah says that a carbon oiler is only a male. So we see from there, Rosh Hashanah, it was a one-time event, says the Gemara. My Kusha, why is that a question? Dilma, we know that until the Beis HaMikdash was built, in different periods of our history, we were allowed to bring kabanos on a boma, and not in the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan. So says the Gemara, Dilma Beis Be'emes Yachid. Maybe at that time they were bringing the carbon on Bamas Yachid. And the halach is that on Bamas Yachid, you can bring a carbon oila, which is a female. We could have Adabar Hava. Domar of Adabar Hava. Menayin la oila in the keva, she could share with Bamas Yachid. Shenemar, v'yikach shmul telav chalav echad, v'yileu oila. So we see that you can use it. So that's not a question. It says the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'yileu zochamash. It means a male. Aram Nachum Yitzchak. Yilei Zachar Mashma, it seems to mean a Zachar. And it says the Gemara, that's not the way to pronounce the Pasuk. V'yaleho Ksiv, which is Lashon Nekeva, and it was Bamas Yachid, has different halachas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, this that we're allowed to buy, that we're buying a carbon from a Nachri, Gvul Yeshla. They're different situations. We have to understand the situation. Chusim Bashal Shanim, if the animal is less than 3 years old, there the animal Nakeris. The animal, if one sodomizes it, becomes sterile. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that the Nachri did it. And because he doesn't want to make his animal sterile. Bashal Shanim, if the baby, if the animal is already 3 years old, Eina Nakeris. Eisrei Kala Ari to Yufta. So says the Gemara, they asked all the questions that we've been learning in our Gemara about animals that were brought. And now we have a good answer that the animals in all these stories were Shani Lahu, Chusmi Bashal Shanim Yamechad. They were less than under 3 years. And since they were under 3 years, there's less of a concern that they were sodomized. Toshma, the Pasuk says, as we learned, when they brought that Aron from Plishtim, the Pasuk says, Vesaparais, Hello Oil Hashem. So we see that Paris are presumably over 3 years old. Answers the Gemara, no. The animals that brought the Aron were Chusu Vashal Shanim. And as we're learning now, when the animal is less than 3 years old, there's no room for concern. Maskula Rav Nosson, Im Kain. If we're going to say that the animals were less than 3 years old, Hainu, the Pasuk says, regarding those animals, Vespineim Kolo Babayis. The Plishtim sent the mothers to bring the kabana, to bring the Aron, and the mother and the babies were left at home. But ask the Gemara, if we're saying now that the mothers were Pchus V'Bashal Shonim, Mikha Yolda, V'Tanan, Parah V'Chamor, a cow or a donkey, V'Bashal Shonim, if it's less from when it's less than, when it's 3 years old, and it didn't have a baby, V'Adai L'Koyim, that means somebody buys a behema from a Nachri, and it has a male child. We don't know, is it the first child or not? So the Mishnah over there teaches us in Masechta Bechayrus that if the mother was less than 3 years old when you bought the animal, it couldn't have possibly had a baby when it was by the Nachri. Because animals that are less than 3 years old don't have babies. But if when you bought the animal when it's over 3 years old, now we don't know, did it have a baby when it was by the Nachri or not? And therefore, it's a suffix. And therefore, the halacha is that we have to treat that firstborn animal with kedushas b'chayra on one hand, but on the other hand, we don't have to give it to the kayin because ha'mayis mechavera olav haraya el machfarta. So we see that they were over three. And yet they were taken for kabanas. So therefore, this teretz doesn't work. Says the Gemara machfarta k'dushnei makar. We have to go back to the other terutzim that we've been learning in our shiur. Our Gemara just taught us that the halacha is that a cow doesn't have a baby under 3 years old. And Tysus asked the questions that we know that we see that cows do have babies when they're under 3 years old. And Tysus says, we must say the Nishtana Ativa, that the world changed. And this concept of the world change has many applications. The most common application is that often the Gemara mentions different remedies. But if we learn Nishtana Ativa, what was helpful in the time of the Gemara might not be the case Bizman Hazeh. Also, the halacha is very strict about mixing meat and milk. Rama says that you have to wash your hands, but the Magen Avraham between meat and milk. But the Magen Avraham says Nishtana Ateva, and the world changed. And we don't have to be so strict about meat and milk. The Chasam Sofer disagrees, and he says once Chazal said that we have to be careful about meat and milk, nothing changes. Another very common example is that the Gemara says that a child that's born to the 8th month of pregnancy will not survive. And we're not allowed to be Michal Shabbos for such a child. Chazanis says that that's not true. The Chazanis says that Bizman Hazeh, the a baby that's born to 8th month can't survive. And therefore, whatever we can do to delay the baby being born rather than the 8th month than the 7th month is something we should do because of Nishtana Hateva. The Gemara also here says, what is the halacha by Safek Bechor? When we speak about a Safek Bechor, there are two examples. One example is by an animal, the example of our Gemara, one is by a baby. So by an animal, the Gemara says you have to treat it with Kedushas Bechayra, but you don't have to give it to the Kohen. What about by a baby? In other words, a baby is born, and there are a lot of questions if it's a Bechor. For example, we don't know if the mother is a Bas Levi or a Bas Kohen. So do we do opinion on that? And the Rav Shlomo Kluge says that a baby boy is different than an animal. By animal, the pigeon is just doing a pigeon. Giving to the Kohen is not part of the actual pigeon. By a Bechor of a human being, that's part of the pigeon is not until you give it to the Kohen. And therefore, there by a Suffolk, he says, you have to give it to the Kohen. The Pasuk continues discussing what happened with these cows bringing back the Aron. The Pasuk says, V'yisharna aparas b'derech aderech b'et shemesh. My v'yisharna, what does v'yisharna mean? It says, the Gemara Amr of Nach, Yoichem Mishra Meish, Amr Shira, they were saying Shira. Rezut v'tav yomer sheyoshru p'neim k'neged Aron from a Shira. They were leading the wagon with the Aron in it, but they turned around to the Aron. And from here we learned that the halach is that we're always supposed to follow the Aron, the Sefer Torah. Ask them, my Shira Amru, Amr of Yoichem Mishra Meish, Oz Yosha Moshe b'nei Yisrael, they said the Shira, Rav Yochanan the day Amar v'Amar b'Yat Mahu Hoyd LaHashem Kairu b'Shmai Hadi ba'Amim El Loisav. Shem b'Lakish Amar Mizayr Mismari Yisma. Mizayr Yisma means a mizmer that doesn't have a name attached to it. Which one is that? Mizmer Shir LaHashem Shichadosh K'Neflas Asay Hashir LaYizmin Ezrei Kachay. Rav Lez Amar the Shir they said was Hashem Moloch Yirguzu Amim. Shmu Banachmeni Amar that they said Hashem Moloch Gaius Lovish. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Amar. They said, Roni, Roni, Hashita. They said Shir about the Aron, which is made out of Eretz Yishitim. His nois fifi b'roiv haderech, hamchushakis b'rik meizav, hamulol b'dvir armen, mafar ba'adei adayim, that they had decorated the Aron with gold and jewels. Vashli maslo hadar v'yitzchak gaha. The Pasuk says, v'hivin tzai Aron v'yam v'mashikum Hashem v'vutzai v'echa, v'nusim v'sanechem v'penecha, Yisrael my Amru. What did they say? Rav Yitzchak, Roni, Roni, Hashita. Amar Rav, command Hari Parsoy L'Sifra Devir. Why did the Parsoyim call a Sefer Devir? Mahacha. Because the Pasuk says, V'shem Devir Lefnim, Kiri a Sefer. So we see that Devir is Sefer. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar command Hari Parsoy L'Nida Dishtana. Why do they call a woman who has a period Dishtana? Mahacha. The Pasuk says, Derech Noshim Li. Dishtun is an abbreviation, Derech Noshim Li.